This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast today, I want to remind you again of how much we need revival, how we need to really pray for revival and seek God for revival. I can imagine in my heart that some folks would say, now, Brother Daly, why do you keep saying that? Is there some particular reason why you keep stressing that we need a revival in the world today? That we really need to really pray and seek God, that God would move? Well, let me just go back and refresh your mind. And if you're on one of the new stations we've just recently gone on, maybe you haven't really then got this kind of information to judge by and to understand why I keep stressing the need for a real revival. Now, it was about 3 years ago. God gave me a vision early one morning in prayer. And I'd like to relate that vision to you today. Maybe it will help you to have more understanding why we need to really pray for revival. Well, as I was in prayer this particular morning, God showed me a vision, and I was in the vision standing beside the seashore. And I could look out on the sea, and it was beautiful. It was calm. It looked peaceful. It looked just so wonderful that you'd just want to wade right in. That's how, just how peaceful the sea looked. And I stood there in the vision admiring what I was seeing with my eye, this peaceful scene there on the seashore looking out at the sea. Well, as I was admiring what I was seeing, God began to speak to me. And God began to relate something to me which has really stirred my heart to the core. Now, God said these words to me. God said, Satan is beginning to do the most subtle work that he has ever done since the time of the garden. Now, when the Holy Ghost began to speak so precisely and so clear to me, surely it went right through me. And I began to wonder in my mind why God was saying this to me in this vision. And then it was related to me and shown to me that people walking out into the sea looked so innocent, looked so peaceful, and so calm. Yet when they walked into this innocent-looking water, my, they just barely got out into it, and they were swept under by an undertow. Just pulled them right down, right under, and away they went, out of sight. Well, my, I mean, that just really began to shake me in my mind. And then the Holy Spirit began to speak to me again. This work of Satan would be so treacherous, such a deceptive and treacherous work, and how treacherous it would really be, and that there would be a multitude that would be caught away in this undertow and pulled under and unable to get out of it and just swept away into the sea by it. Well, after seeing this vision and after hearing these words from the Lord, I really was stirred in my soul. What could all of this mean? What could this possibly, conceivably mean? Now, I don't mind telling you my mind was blank. I had no natural explanation. Nothing inside of me could readily interpret what that vision meant. And like most real spiritual dreams or visions, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit not only to give it to you, but to relate to you and reveal to you what it really means. Now, surely God wanted me to know, and God wanted me to understand what that vision meant. Now, it took some time, and I prayed, and I sought God, and I really cried out to God for an interpretation. Well, now, I was in the city of Wichita, Kansas, holding revival meetings. And I was really in the spirit one night after church, when I laid on my bed, just so anointed and feeling that anointing upon me, and I couldn't go to sleep. It was just one of those wonderful, blessed services, and, well, the presence of God was overwhelmingly strong in the church service that night. And I just went home feeling that anointing. It just didn't lift off of me. But as I laid in bed and, well, I just began to praise the Lord and worship God and pray and seek God. And the next thing, I got a burden in my heart. And, oh, I began to weep and cry. And I felt such a burden for souls and such a burden for the church. But it was during that time God began to move. And God gave me the interpretation to what that vision really meant. And as the Lord began to bring that into my mind and heart, he brought this scripture found in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8 to light to me. And this is the verse. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now in the Spirit, this latter part of the verse, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth, all at once came into me like a great big question. When Jesus comes, will he find faith? When Jesus comes, will he find faithful men and women loving him and serving him and walking with him and ready to be raptured away and to be lifted up out of this world to go on to be with him? Will he find faith? Or, oh my, this began to bring a real question to my mind, and the Holy Spirit began to really press that verse of Scripture upon me. And then he took me to this verse of Scripture found in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sins be revealed, the son of perdition. And all at once the Lord began to bring this part of this verse out to me, that before the coming of the Lord, there'd be a great falling away. Well, a falling away? I mean, why a falling away? I knew the scripture was there before. I preached many times on it. But now, suddenly, the Lord illuminates into my heart and mind now this great falling away. Well, as I thought and as I meditated on that verse of Scripture now, surely God had something else to show me, and God had something else to say. And all of these things, brother and sister, are so very important when we get to thinking about them. Then the Lord took me to this verse of Scripture in the Spirit, and now this came to light to me. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Well, my, I thought about this one found in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. A lukewarmness so bad that Jesus would spit the church of Laodicea or the Last Day Church right out of his mouth? I thought in my mind, oh my lands, now what's the Lord trying to put a pattern of? When I come, will I find faith on the earth? There would be a great falling away. There would be a falling away into lukewarmness such as he could not stomach? Well, my, I mean, I'm going to ask you a basic question. When? When was there to be a falling away? Well, in the last days. When is the last days? Is that 100 years from now? 200 years from now? Or could that be now? Now, this was 3 years ago that the Lord showed me that vision of this falling away, of this going into lukewarmness. It was 3 years ago the Lord warned me about this. Now I have been wanting to do my very best to warn you and to make you to know Now, that this is something the Lord has shown would come. And it's not something off in a distant future. It's a very subtle work of Satan that he is working on right now, that he is working to prepare and lead men and women into right now. I've said that many times, that if we don't pray for revival and seek God for something from God to stand on and stand with and seek the Lord to raise up a standard, we're going to get carried away in that lukewarmness. We're going to get carried away in that apostasy, that falling away. We're going to be those that would find will be spit right out of his mouth. I don't want that. And God warned me about it, so I'd warn you about it. Now, God made that real to me so I could talk to you about it here in this radio program. Yes, God wants you to know about it. Now, if you pray and seek God, it'll make a difference. If we'll all pray and seek God, it'll make a difference. Those who will be revived shall be revived. Those that will seek revival will find revival in these days. We'll find something genuine and real, and we'll continue. Well, if we follow the trend that's at hand now, if we follow this trend that's here and already working in the land and is going to intensify and increase as the days go by, now I want you to know, if you follow it, you're going to be sucked under like the men sucked under in that undertow. You're going to get into it and you can't get out. Now, to go apostate is to get into a state you can't get out of. You just can't retrieve yourself from it. You get brought into it, and there's just no way out. Now, this lukewarmness that's creeping over the land, over the church, is bringing men and women into a state of lukewarmness. It's going to get worse and worse, and multitudes are going to get caught away in this last day, and they're not going to get out. Well, give ear to what I say now, and the Lord give you understanding. And we'll go on tomorrow a little farther about this. Father, quicken these words into our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast today, I want to continue on from what we were dealing with yesterday in our program. Remember the vision I told you about yesterday, this great falling away, this turning aside into lukewarmness? The vision God showed me of standing and looking at the sea and seeing that innocent look, that calm sea, and yet that subtlety of the sea that when you walked into it, that you'd be carried away of the undertow and just pulled right under. Well, I reflected that to you, both the vision and the interpretation of that vision. Now, today I want to follow on with you. I want to try to awaken your mind and your heart to the reality that we're in the last days, that we're at the end of the age, that the climax of this age is right now before us. Now, we're looking at it, we're seeing it. Now, remember, God said that Satan was doing the most subtle work that he had ever done, a more treacherous work, a very treacherous work. Now, I told this vision 3 years ago. It was printed up in our Bread of Life publication. You have that publication? Well, you look back at back issues, and surely you find that was way back there I told the vision. Now, today we must stop and consider that God gives us warnings. God is faithful to us. He doesn't want us to always run headlong into everything and find out everything the hard way. No, God is very concerned in these days for his church. He's very concerned for his children. And surely it's not the plan, purpose, nor the will of God that any of us should be led away in this fashion here at the end of the age. Now today I want to go with you back to 2 Thessalonians. And we'll go back to verse 3, and we'll read that verse again today, and we'll begin to expound from there. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sins be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, we're talking about the words here of the Apostle Paul in this verse, except there come a falling away first. Now, this is the issue that he would want us to examine and see, that before the end of the age, now, before the climax of the end of the age, before the coming of Jesus, there would be a falling away first. Now, understand, I don't care how you read out and interpret your message of the last days. There's one sure thing you can't misread out of this. There's not going to be a falling away from the church, you know, that's going to go after the church is taken home. No, the falling away of the church referred to here is at the end of the age, and surely it's a climactic event that will tend to usher in the end of the age. The church falling away. Now, Paul said this, and you just have to grasp it, because Brother Daly didn't say this. Paul said this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost way back here over 1900 years ago. He said, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first." Now, that's the Word of God. Now, I recognize that surely I quoted that to you yesterday as part of the interpretation to the vision. And there will come a falling away. And the falling away has nothing to do with my vision that God showed me. My vision has something to do with the falling away. This event was recorded now way back here 1900 and some years ago. So we've got to consider God said it. Therefore, we know it's true. It was spoken, and it was written so that it would be here on the pages for us to forewarn us of what would take place in the last days. Now, I think anything that concerns the church and a falling away of the church or within the church is of great magnitude and of great importance unto every one of us believing Christians, no matter what title we put upon ourselves, no matter what label we label ourselves, no matter what church or denomination we may belong to. I believe it all has a very significant importance to us that we just can't shake off, we just can't take lightly, we just can't look at it and shake and shrug our shoulders and say, "Well, I don't know." Look, it says in the Word of God, it says in the Bible, it says in the Holy Scriptures that this would take place before the end of the age. Now, there would come a great falling away first. That's going to come first. This is what we could look at and say, it is an event. And I want to tell you this. Now, God shows me this is a key event that will take place. God shows me this is a key event of all events, that on this event hinges now all the other events at the end of the age. This event is really the event now that will cause the other events to take place. What other events? We'll read the rest of the verse. "And that man of sins be revealed, the son of perdition." Old Antichrist is going to get up into power somehow, some way. Well, may we understand now the falling away is not after the church is taken out of the world. The falling away is first. The falling away begins the slide backwards. Now, the falling away is what really gives the devil his free hand in the world, because the church is going to lose its vision. The church is going to lose its stand. The church is going to lose what Jesus gave it. And we've got to really bring ourselves into light of this. And let's say what the Word says. Now, just don't have to go a bit by what I saw in the vision. If you would just go by the Word alone will tell you these events. "Now, the Lord has spoken, when I come, will I find faith on the earth?" In Luke 18:8, when we look at the Word of God and we see the Lord has forewarned us of this falling away, then we ought to really down in our hearts pray in light of the Word of God. We ought to pray for revival in light of the Scripture. We ought to pray that the church be spared of this. we ought to pray that there'd be such a stirring revival and move of God that the church wouldn't fall into this state. My, we ought to pray to that end. And we ought to pray, brother and sister, we ought to pray that we don't fall that way. That our church doesn't fall that way. That our denomination doesn't fall that way if we're in one. I mean, we ought to pray that God would bring a revival into the church in these last days of great magnitude. That God would raise up a standard against such an evil thing coming upon the earth. Now, I'm going to go on with you. And I'm going to really get down to the nitty-gritty of this matter with you. And if you'll listen to me and bear me out, and if you'll give heed to what I say, God will thoroughly furnish you with knowledge and understanding how this old falling away is going to really come into being. What is going to really transpire to bring this thing to pass? Now, we ought to consider that surely anything of great magnitude that's going to affect us, affect the church of Jesus Christ, we ought to take to heart. We ought to really search out. Now, God said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. God would say, study the scriptures, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, we best get into Scripture. And as we see the Scriptures, my, the Scriptures foretold these terrible happenings. My, and we better just really get down and say, well, if Jesus said it, then it must have a fulfillment somewhere, sometime. Now, did you ever ask yourself, when would this be? Have you ever looked at a verse here like verse 3 in 2 Thessalonians 2 and said, now, when does this falling away come? I mean, when would it come? Now, may you understand it's put in a verse right ahead of Antichrist coming. Now, put it into context. It's put in a verse, and following it, the very next sentence says, and that man of sins be revealed as son of perdition. Now, there's always been a lot of disputing about this particular verse and the preceding second verse here over the last phrase in the second verse, whether it means the day of Christ is at hand or whether it means the day of the Lord is at hand. Well, a careful study would say this to you. As far as the falling away is concerned, it doesn't matter which way you interpret it, it'll still mean the same thing because the falling away is going to come first. Now, it would make a difference in the interpretation of it when the second part here of verse 3 would come to pass, talking about the man of sins being revealed. Whether it comes before the coming of Jesus or whether it comes after the coming of Jesus for his church. Well, I want you to consider now, we're not going to get into a dialogue and debate and debate and debate here about that point. We're going to look at what he said, and there's a subject we're looking at, the great falling away, the apostasy. Now, I've been studying this out very carefully, and I have searched the scriptures very carefully about it. Now, this word referred to here, these words called a falling away is, well, if you trace it down back into the Greek, you'll find out it refers to an apostasy. And an apostasy is, you know, going back to perdition, losing out totally with God, getting into a state of perdition where you just wouldn't even be able to walk with God. Well, it's a subject that you've got to really study to understand. Now, I'm going to give you another revelation. And if you'll tune in tomorrow, I'll show you something else about this verse of Scripture that Jesus told me. Maybe that will interest you too. Father, I want you to quicken the word today, making it real and alive in our hearts. For we ask in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message we began on Monday. If you were tuned in on Monday, you heard me tell about a vision that God showed me 3 years ago, a vision relating the subtle work of Satan and how he would work to cause a great falling away of the church? Well, I took time to explain that vision. Yes, and then I gave you an interpretation to it. Now today, I want to go back to this text we were talking about yesterday in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Now, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there shall come a falling away first, and that man of sins be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, it was on January 5th, back in January 5th, this year, 1983. One morning I was praying and seeking God, and I begin to meditate on this verse of Scripture. And as the Lord began to really move upon me, all at once the power of the Spirit of God became very strong. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said this to me. And I want you to listen to what He said. Now He said, in pertaining to this verse of Scripture, talking about their coming of falling away first. The Lord said this, that falling away spoken of in that verse of Scripture is a rejection of me. A rejection of Jesus? By who? Well, wouldn't that be the logical question? By the church. A rejection of Jesus? Brother Daly, that's nonsense. Why, the church would never reject Jesus. What is this falling away then? It's an apostasy. An apostasy is a condition that men get in for which there is no remedy. There's no way out. There's no way of escape. Once you're trapped in it, you're trapped in it. It's like that vision I told you Monday, standing there by the sea and seeing that water so calm and peaceful. Yet when men walked into it, they were sucked under by the undertow and in no wise could get out. Looked so innocent. Oh, yes. Now, that subtle work of Satan to cause a falling away, to cause a rejection of Jesus. Now, Brother Daly, that sounds like too much. Oh, it could never be. Now, you just hang on, will you? You just stay right there by your radio. You just listen for the next few days, next few weeks, and, well, we'll look into the Word of God, and we'll see what God has to say about this matter from the Word. Maybe when all is said and done, you'll think twice about this crowd that will reject Jesus at the end of the age. Now, we talked yesterday about when is the end of the age? Hundreds and hundreds of years from now? Are we going to always put it off to some distance? You know, sometime it's going to be now. Sometime it's got to come. And surely we've got to look. Everything that we can look at points to the end of this age. It's here, brother and sister. It is before us. We're living at the end of the age. The climax of the age is right here before our very eyes. We're seeing the events fulfilled in the Scripture. And we see that the coming of Jesus certainly would be near at hand. We see the signs everywhere, and we see signs fulfilled. Now, the Lord said this falling away is a rejection of me. Now, when I heard that, oh, that hit me. Oh, that hurt. You know, a rejection. Lord, why would anybody reject you? I always read that as a falling away, as an apostasy, but I never looked into the depths of why men would fall away. What was the result of their falling away? What was the reason for their falling away? Well, the Lord made it quite clear. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't need to look anymore. I just take what He said. He said it was a rejection of Him. Are you going to reject Jesus at the end of the age? Are you going to deny Him at the end of the age? Are things going to become so lukewarm at the end of the age that not only will He spew them out of His mouth, but that which He spewed out has utterly rejected Him? We ought to consider that, shouldn't we? Now, I told you a revelation, and I told you when God gave it to me, and you remember that. Yes, he said, this would be a rejection of him. Now, the Lord began to speak to me about this, and he began to direct me into the Word of God to explore now, and that he would show me in the Word what this rejection was all about, how it would come about, why it would come about. And surely, I spent literally hours searching the Scripture, digging into the Word, following the leading of the Spirit of God. Brother and sister, I want you to understand it's all written. It's clearly spelled out in God's Word. And we just have to allow ourselves to have our eyes opened and illuminated, and surely we'll recognize that this great falling away spoken of here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 is a terrible climactic event at the end of the age. Now, what would you do if you were the Lord and suddenly that which was your object of affection, of love, you know what I mean, that which you yourself have really suffered and died for, would suddenly reject you, have no more to do with you, reject you, deny your sacrifice as an atonement for sin? What on earth would you do? Well, the very next phrase said, and then that man of sins would be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, this event is a prelude to the very climactic end of the age. Oh, my God, may we pray? May we get a vision to pray? If we would pray, wouldn't it make a difference? If the church would pray and intercede and seek Jesus with the whole heart and show love and affection to the Savior, wouldn't that cause him to turn and bring a blessing in this last day? Oh my, I know there's going to be a multitude caught away in this. I know there's going to be a great multitude spit right out of his mouth at the end of the age. The Bible said so. But oh my, it don't have to happen to you. You don't have to be caught away in that. You don't have to fall away. You don't have to become lukewarm. You don't have to go down that avenue, but you will, as sure as the day, if you will refuse to pray and intercede and seek God to do something and to come on the scene and to raise up some kind of a standard in this last day, that the church, the body of Christ, might be rescued from the snare of the devil that he's laying trapped for multitudes in a lukewarm move. Now, I said on this broadcast weeks and weeks and weeks ago that the devil had begun a new move. There's a subtle move that's beginning to gain momentum. It's in the world today. It's 3 years now, not in the making, being made and having gone on now, entering into three full years that this thing has been at work in the world. And it's coming, and it's going to seem to you that if you don't get in it, you're just not on the end generation. If you don't get in it, you're just going to be something wrong with you. It's just going to seem that if we don't plunge into it and get into it, we're going to be squares altogether. But I want you to know today, God in His Word warns us that this thing is a falling away from Jesus. It will turn to be a rejection of Jesus. And surely, if we take up with that trend that's coming, it's a lukewarmness. It's such a subtle way. Men will see it and love it so well. It'll seem so real and so right to many. It's going to be just what everybody's wanting. Yes, and multitudes are going to be caught away in it. Now today, if you'll pray, it will make a difference. Now, as a man of God, I certainly spend time in prayer and seek God and yield my heart to God, and God shows me this, and God reveals this to me. Now, I'm making it clear as I know how to you. I don't want you to fall away. I don't want you to get caught up in something that's going to cause you to lose out with God, be among those that are rejected. I want you to give ear. I want you to pray with me. Now, I've asked you to do something, and I tell you, you can't fault me in saying it to you. I've asked you every day for months to pray for revival. Is there anything wrong with that? I've asked you to really seek God for revival. Do we need it? Now, there are preachers today that say, we don't need no revival. Why, we're in the best shape we've ever been in. We don't need to pray. My, we don't need that at all. Why, we're right in there right now, and boy, we've got it. Look, we need revival. I'm telling you, I'm very sincere. Now, our own church here in the Boston area is busy praying. I mean, if you come to my church any night of the week, seven nights a week, you'll either find a regular church service really going, or you'll find that whole church together praying, seeking God, praying for revival. Oh, my, I'm so stirred by what God showed me. My, we're moving out in God in this. We're just not going to sit back and die. We're just not going to sit back and go mod and go down this road of lukewarmness. No, we're not. And, my, we'd want to do everything in our power to alert men and women, God-fearing men, God-fearing women, to pray and seek God and intercede here at the end of the age. Are you praying? Are you hearing me? Do I sound strange to you saying these things? Can't you sense the end of the age? Don't you really know how close we are to the very end? And don't you understand these things are written in God's Word to warn us to? Oh, let's get with it. Come on, let's pray for revival. Father, quicken these words into every one of our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message. Yes, revealing to you what God has showed me of things right here pertaining to the end of the age and this great falling away. Now, I've taught you some things this week that I would hope you wouldn't forget very easy. I would trust that the vision I expressed to you on Monday of that great falling away, that subtle work of Satan to cause a falling away of the church in this last day. And also, I revealed to you this, that what this verse of Scripture here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, referring to that time of falling away, really means a rejection of Jesus. Now, we've got to consider in our hearts what these things really mean. Well, let me go back and try to bring out some light and reasoning with you that you might gain the kind of understanding you need to understand this. Now, first of all, I want you to understand why I have been exhorting you in the name of the Lord for months to really pray for revival. Well, I've exhorted you because the Lord showed me that this is the only thing that will make a difference. Him bringing a revival in the midst of the church. Otherwise, there's going to be not only a multitude fall away, that multitude will be a great magnitude. Well, if you and I will pray and seek God and get into revival, really get the move of God, really allow God to really move in us and through us and yield ourselves to the Lord, surely we can escape this. You don't have to fall away. It's not the plan of the Lord that you should fall away. It's why he's warning you about it, so you will pray. And all of you that are sincere with God, you should be praying. You know the end of the age is at hand. It's here. Well, let's go back now and just let me read this again. And, well, we'll pick up what it reveals to us. Now, I'm in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there shall come a falling away first, and that man of sins be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that He is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now, that last verse. And now you know, and that's a revelation now to the church. He said, and now you know what withholds this man of sins from really being revealed in his time. Now, what withholds it? What is it that stands in the way here? Well, now the event, of course, is referred to here. That falling away comes first. This is not going to happen except there come first a falling away. That's what Paul said. Now, before Antichrist is revealed, there's going to be a great falling away. That's what Paul is trying to say to the church. That's the message you and I should derive from the Word of God. And we should, in our hearts, really settle the issue and say, yeah, there's going to be a falling away. That a falling away will be an apostasy and, in reality, a rejection of Jesus. But it don't have to happen to me. It just doesn't have to be that we fall away. If we fall away, it's because we're led away. If we fall away, we're following some cunningly devised lie of the devil. We're following what the devil's going to do in this last day in deceiving many who are going to be lukewarm and spit out of his mouth. Now, we've got to realize then that the falling away is a key event. Before these other events come, before the end of the age comes forth now with an Antichrist revealed and a world turned to worship Antichrist and the mark of the beast and all of that, before that could ever come, he said, first there would come a falling away. Now, that falling away then is a critical issue. And this is why you and I ought to pray. First of all, the last thing in the world I want to see is the church fall away. I love the church, and I love God's people. And I think of the church as my brother and my family, the children of God. I don't want you to fall away. I don't want anybody to fall away. I don't want to reject the Lord, and I don't want you to by your works and by the things you get involved in. But the trend that's come, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and it's going to get very involved, and multitudes are going to go a-whoring this way and reject the Lord. Now, that's what he's saying to us, both in the Word and by revelation. Well, then we know what would really hinder Antichrist from being revealed. Now, we know it's this falling away. Now, until that falling away happens, he's not going to be revealed. Now, we realize this falling away is spoken of as also at the end of the age. Now, the time is here. It's happening, brother and sister. It's actually happening. Now, I reveal to you that subtle work of the devil, that treacherous work, and I'm going to reveal it more fully to you so that there just won't be anything now that would lack in your knowledge or in your understanding that you should be swept away like that. Now, can you think of anything any worse than a day coming when a man would arise in the world and exalt himself and oppose himself above all that's called God, who would set himself right down in the temple of God and call himself God and exalt himself above all that's called God? You see, I could hardly believe that something like that could be. But then we just read it right out of the Word. Now, I want you to understand this truth and the cause of it. Why would God permit such a thing to happen? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why would God ever allow a man the audacity to stand up and say he's God and have the whole world going a-whoring after him? I mean, how could such a thing ever be? Brother and sister, I told you, and I want you to consider again what I said. The reason it can be and the reason it will be is because preceding it will be a great falling away of the church. Now, you know, a falling away of the church. My, these are hard words. Hey, I preach for the church. I mean, I'm a messenger to the church.
I mean, I'm a preacher, brother and sister. I'm not here to be against the church. I'm just telling you what's going to happen in it. Oh, my, it just grieves my spirit when I think about it. I've given my whole life to the Lord and to the church, a servant of the Lord and a servant of the church, walking with God and working with men and helping men and women to really turn to and love and serve the Lord. But I think of the magnitude of this falling away, and my lens, when you think that multitudes are going to fall away, my lens, it seems like you're working in vain. But today, we better pray for revival, hadn't we? We better consider now that God says why this would be. Now, you know it and I know it, and the Word reveals that to us, that Antichrist won't come until this falling away has happened. And because of this falling away, he will come. It's the reason he can come. It's the reason he can rise up. It's the falling away. I know some would say, well, it's the church being taken out of the way. Yes, in a sense, that's just as true. The church will be raptured. That is what's left of it. What's true. What will stand and won't bow and won't bend and won't give in to lukewarmness. What just won't go mad. What just won't fall away and follow and reject the Lord by following leaders who will lead them down that avenue. My, that church will go up. But I want you to know that it's that church that will go up. The true church is going to go up. But my, before that time, my, there's a multitude that really are going to fall away. They won't be ready at this time. They'll be rejecting the Lord at this time. And this is what will bring this awful Antichrist, this awful spirit of Antichrist, over the earth in such a strong measure at the end of the age. How the church itself will find within its ranks that multitudes will eventually reject the Lord even while they're still going to church. Yes, you'll see it. I mark my words, if you will. My, you'll see it. You'll know when you see it, because there'll be a multitude that deny the blood of Jesus and deny the sacrifice of Christ and deny the cleansing. And my, there'll be a multitude by their very works will deny what Jesus really came to bring us, and to bring us out from sin and to cleanse and wash us. Well, we're going to see, and it's going to happen surely. Now, we're living at the end of the age, and you and I better be very concerned about this matter. Well, today, once again, I exhort you to pray. It will make a difference. And I believe if you'll pray and seek God and say, now, God, is what Brother Daly's saying to us real? Is that really true, Lord? Will it get so bad in the last days that men are going to reject you? Well, pray about it. You go ahead and ask God. Seek God for yourself. I mean, I want God to make it clear not only to me, I want to make it clear to you. And surely this message this week should help to open your eyes to why I continue to say, pray, pray, pray. Let's pray for revival. It will make a difference. Father, quicken the word into our hearts today, and God will give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast today, let's continue on with the message here this week that God has been speaking to our hearts, how we need to really pray, how we need to really get a hold of God for revival. And let's remember that the Lord is telling us what would really transpire here at the end of the age, both by revelation and by the Word of God. Now, yesterday we surely found out what would really keep Antichrist from being revealed. And the Bible said there'd come a falling away first, and then that man of sins would be revealed. Now, this falling away, this going into modern lukewarmness, apostasy, surely is right before our eyes, and it's beginning to happen, and it's going to gain great momentum, and it's going to seem to men and women, if they don't get in this move that's moving up now and coming that, my, they just won't seem like they're even going to church if I don't get in it. But what is going to be the result? Well, today, I'd like to go on here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and see if we can't look at a little more of the reason. Now, it says this, reading on in verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Let me stop right there in the middle of verse 10. "Then that wicked would be revealed, whom the Lord will destroy with the brightness of his coming." Now we're foretold, surely this is clearly spelled out in the last half of Revelation chapter 13, a man referred to as a false prophet would come working miracles with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, requiring of men and women that they take the mark of the beast, or they can't buy, or they can't sell. Now here's a reference to that period of time. This person now who's coming after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. My, how would a man stand in a day like that? Why, here's the devil doing works like we'd say like Jesus would do. Why, such deception. Signs, wonders, miracles, that sounds like God, somebody said. Well, I'll tell you, that's what normally always has been a sign of God. But at the end of the age, it's going to be a sign just the opposite. Here it's referred to now as after the working of Satan. Why is God going to permit such a character to rise up? And why is God going to cause or allow Antichrist to come and set himself up in God's house as God? Why would he be allowed to set himself up in the temple of God and call himself God and demand allegiance from the world? I mean, why? Look, he's coming with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Got to ask the question. Why? Because they're good people? Because they go to church every Sunday? Because they just love and serve Jesus? Is that the reason why? They're devoted? Oh, they're the most prayerful people? The most sanctified? The most holy? Oh, no. No, no, no. Now, what is it? Look at the word. Now, we'll go back to the middle of verse 10. "Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Now, here's a multitude in this last day that absolutely refuses to receive the love of the truth. Yes, there is a multitude that will walk away from the truth and turn their back on the truth and refuse to hear the truth. What is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ and him crucified. The truth is the blood of Jesus Christ shed as the atonement for the sins of the world, for the sins of mankind. And you know, it's this denying the Lord, this denying, this apostate, denying the Lord in this last day that this thing is talking about here. Now they receive not the love of the truth. Do you love the truth? Now, how many of you hear me today, you get all mad when the preacher gets up and preaches against sin? Oh, you're mad about that. Oh, why, he's always telling me about my faults or something. You get all squirmish, stirred inside. Look, you know, when you hear the truth, you ought to praise God. And if you find a preacher preaching the truth, would you do him a favor? Do God a favor, will you? Walk up and give him a pat on the back and say, "Preacher, keep it up, will you? Keep telling the truth. Keep preaching the plain, simple Bible like that. We want to hear it like it is." Oh, you ought to commend a preacher who preaches the truth. Now, if you got a mealy-mouthed preacher, if you got a preacher who's lullying you off, telling you everything under the sun is all right, and everything fleshy is all right, and my land, the things of the world is all right, and always trying to tell you everything is right, 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 and he never will open his mouth and make a distinction between right and wrong, between good and evil. My, he'll lure you and he'll lead you right astray. Well, he don't love the truth, and he's afraid to tell the truth because, well, there's just too many people out there today that don't want to hear the truth. Now, here's what the Word says. There's no love of the truth in their hearts. And this goes on to say a little bit farther. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. God sending delusions, men acting crazy, believing. Why, this thing's going to get so bad that men are going to hear Antichrist stand up and declare himself to be God, and with the strong delusions in their mind, they'll believe that lie. They'll believe he's God. Oh, my. Oh, my, I'm going to stick to the truth. I don't want to go down that avenue. Look, you better stick in the truth. You better just desire in your heart to have the truth. Hey, listen to the rest of the verse. Going on to verse 12. That they all may be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh. Now, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Now, the previous verse said they had no love of the truth. This verse said they believed not the truth. This verse said that they have pleasures in unrighteousness. They're after the flesh. Now, this modern move that's coming, this lukewarm move that's sweeping, is going to be a move where there'll be no hesitation of men to walk after the flesh. There'll be no desire to walk after the Spirit and after the newness of life. Yes, there'll be a rejection of the truth, and men are going to lose their love for the truth, and they're going to follow and believe a lie, and they're going to walk here not believing the truth. They're going to walk in pleasures of unrighteousness and feel they're serving God. What a lie. What a deception. But that's what we face right at the doorstep. Now, this modernistic, lukewarm thing that's going to sweep over the earth is going to be just like this. A falling away now. Remember earlier in the week, I said to you, God showed me that falling away meant a rejection of Jesus. Well, a rejection of Jesus by a simple rejection of the truth about Jesus, the truth about his blood, the truth about the forgiveness of sin, the truth about walking after God in the Spirit, living with God in the newness of life, versus an allurement after the lust of the flesh. Teachers surely having itchy ears. My, leading men and women astray from the love of the truth. Now, I want you to know, anything that's going to dampen your mind and heart to the love of the truth is not of God. God wants you to love the Word. Do you love the Word of God today? Do you know anything more precious than the Scripture? Do you really hang on to the great truths of the Bible? The coming of Christ? Surely his spotless life? His death? And his great sufferings on that cross for the atonement of our sins. Your whole basis of salvation is your faith in the death of Christ, in the shed blood of Christ, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh my, is this your faith? Are you anchoring your soul in this risen Savior? Are you really holding on to that truth that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the remission of sins? When this apostasy gets into full movement in this last day, you'll hear more denials of the blood of Jesus. You'll hear more denials of the sacrifice of his life than you can shake a stick at. Men are going to reject these truths. That's what this falling away will mean. To reject this truth is to reject Jesus. Hold on now. Let's get right down to business. Let's pray and intercede and make intercession before God. Now, I know I spoke pretty strongly to you this week. I want you to know I told you what God gave me in a vision. And I told you its interpretation. And I made it clear to you that Satan is at work doing the most subtle thing that he has ever done since the time of the garden. Now, I told you that by the revelation of the Lord. I told you that this subtle work will bring a multitude of people to rejecting Jesus, to falling away, going into a lukewarm state wherein they will be rejected of the Lord, surely, as he said to the Laodicean church. Now, I've made that clear to you, and I want you to consider all of this, and I want you to pray. Now, you tune in next Monday, and we'll go on, and we'll look a little bit further, and I have a lot more to say to you, and I hope you have an ear to hear. Father, quicken the words today. Make them real and alive in many hearts and in many lives, I pray, in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.